on the hill. Where I set my Geneva long ago, as the stars were shining brightly, we could hear the whippoorwill as we sat beneath that maple on the hill. We would sing love songs together while the birds had on the red. We would listen to the murmur of the rail. Well, you love me, love, darling, as you did those starry nights, as we sat beneath that maple on the hill. Just one little wish, darling, that I pray. As you linger there in sadness, thinking, darling, of the past, that your teardrops kiss the flowers on my grave. I'll soon be with the angels on that bright and peaceful shore.
Sweet, sweet syrup. That maple syrup, those beautiful sugar maple trees. It's maple syrup season in the Northeast, and spring is on the way in the Catskills. I'm shedding the weight of winter and getting ready to fly like those geese coming back home, and the wild ducks on the pond, the robins darting across the road, the streams flowing again, and the rhododendrons uncurling their leaves. Some fun maple syrup facts from Cornell University in New York. Around 300 different natural flavor compounds have been found in pure maple syrup. A sugar maple tree is usually 30 years old or more and at least 10 inches in diameter before it's tapped. Syrup flavor is affected by soil type, tree genetics, weather conditions during the maple season, and when the sap is collected. Maple syrup is produced only in the northeastern United States and eastern Canada. No one knows the exact reason for the higher sugar content of the sugar maple tree. Scientists suggest that it may be related to the structure of the wood and the sugars stored in the wood. During cooler periods, when temperatures fall below freezing, suction develops, drawing water into the tree. This replenishes the sap in the tree, allowing it to flow again during the next warm period.
Hello, my name is Jamie Noeth. I'm from Mongab Valley, New York.
You said you used to make maple syrup as a kid?
Yeah, we started making maple syrup. I was probably about 9 or 10, and that was always like the first signs of spring is around the corner because the days would get warmer and the nights were still really cold. And my dad used to tap the trees, and I'd go around and collect the sap, and I would cut all the little pieces of wood to make the fire, and it was a very long process.
It would be hours and hours and hours of boiling down all the sap to make that like precious nectar. You know, it was like when you finally got your little gallon after boiling down like 40 gallons, and we'd be like, be careful, don't spill it. You know, it was like so precious. The little sap that we'd get after, you know, the syrup that you'd get after hours and hours and hours of laboring.
How do we know if it's a good or a bad maple syrup season? What would you say this one is?
I don't really know. Below freezing at night and then warmer in the day so that the sap flows. That's all I know is about that.
So was this something you would look forward to then as a kid?
It was fun, you know, running around in the woods and gathering all the sticks and collecting the syrup and checking the buckets to see how much syrup you had, and it was fun.
And is your dad still doing this?
He actually still is. He just was gathering up all of his maple syrup supplies a week ago, and he started making syrup. We just got our first glass jar of syrup from Dad. So he has some syrup already.
And how do you use your syrup?
We use it on our breakfast mostly. Pancakes, waffles, oatmeal. And we always, you know, the grown-ups have to dispense it on the children's plates because we don't want them to waste any, not a drop.
It's so interesting thinking about the different degrees of spring here in the Catskills and what represents it. So for you, the true start then is the making
maple syrup. Yeah, and then after that is really when like the daffodils start to pop up and the buds start to appear on the trees. So yeah, the first sign of spring is maple syrup.
Thank you, Jamie.
Hi, I'm Carol Hipsch.
What is it that you like about maple syrup?
It's thick, It's sweet, it's warm.
I think it's incredible that it takes 40 gallons of sap to make 1 gallon of the syrup.
I just ordered 2 half gallons of it from somebody in my job, along with some maple cream.
Do you associate the maple syrup at all with springtime around here in the Catskills?
Absolutely. It goes along with Little League, baseball, maple syrup, green leaves, and flowers.
I'm delighted to share a previous New York State Maple Syrup Weekend with you from my neighborhood in the Sullivan County Catskills, as this year's is coming up. I'm in my car on Aden Road in Liberty, New York, heading towards Parksville, because today is New York State Maple Syrup Day, and I'm headed towards the Muthig Farm, who will be giving educational tours about the history and making of maple syrup. It's March 19th. I want to focus on my hometown and what people have been doing here for hundreds of years.
Oh, we got another tour starting if people get out here.
Well, I'm trying to get water, huh?
So I am now at the Muthig family farm, and you're Dot Muthig?
Yes, I'm Dot.
Hi. How long have you had this farm?
Well, we built the first part of this in 1958, and then we added on this part later on. So but we've been making syrup here since 1958.
So you've been making syrup since 1958, and we're standing at the entranceway to, what do you call this structure?
We call it a sap house.
The sap house, and yeah. I'm looking at steam coming up from a machine in the next room.
That's called the evaporator, and it's evaporating most of the water out of the sap because it's only like 3%. Sugar content, so it takes a lot to evaporate and to get it down to syrup.
So how many pounds then of the syrup to come, I mean, what's the ratio of the sap to the syrup?
Roughly 40 gallons to one.
That's amazing, 40 gallons to one.
Sometimes towards the end of the season it'll be even more.
And what is the significance of today being the day of this tour and that you are starting the process of making the maple syrup?
Well, this is New York State Maple Weekend, and we've been doing this now. Last year we did it for the museum, in Diamond Valley Museum, that's going to be in Grahamsville. So it's more or less in conjunction with the Maple Weekend, which is statewide.
How many maple trees do you have here?
We don't count trees, we count the buckets.
The buckets! So how many buckets then?
Well, we only got about 500 out yet, but usually we have a little between 600 and 700. So we haven't tapped all of our trees yet. We're waiting for it to get warmer.
I know. Well, it's supposedly spring, isn't it, the next day?
Tomorrow.
Well, the sun is shining. The snow's melting. No. I'm now walking into the sap house.
It's not on.
Oh, and I'll have to speak to you, the man with the gloves on, by this. What's going... So this is... Whoa! I'm in the sap room. It's warm,
and it
feels really great. What's your name?
Raymond Muthig.
Great. I just spoke with Dot a bit about the history of your land here and your trees and the buckets, 500 to 700 per season. So right now, are you making the syrup?
Yes, we're making it. This is the first we've gathered yesterday, and we haven't got much sap, but we're boiling what we've got. That's it.
And is that because it's been so cold late in the season that you don't have that much sap?
Yeah, it gets too cold nights and not warm enough daytime.
So you're loading up the wood here then in this huge wood stove, and it's an amazing room.
This is where our storage is. The sap's filtered up here.
Oh.
Before it goes into that one, comes down into this one. And then if you look inside, this is how much sap I got left to boil today.
Very little. We're talking under 12 inches.
Yes. And then it comes in here, goes into what they call a preheating pan. It heats the sap before it goes into the evaporator. It's going down in the evaporator and just keeps circulating all the way around. And on the other side, I'll show you the difference in the color.
Great. So why is it that maple syrup sap is the one sap then to make syrup from, the one tree that one can make syrup from?
Well, Alaska makes it in birch, but the sugar contents is not, it takes double the birch sap to make a gallon of syrup as it does maple.
So the maple tree is the sweetest tree then?
Is the sweetest tree. You notice how clear that is?
Yep.
Okay, now you see this starting to color?
Oh, okay.
And if you look down in here too, you'll see it's getting a little darker.
Oh, I see.
It's not quite syrup yet.
So this trough that I'm looking into, that becomes the syrup that I would then eat?
That would be the finished pan. Then once it is syrup, it'll start coming off automatic. And it's filtered through all these filters.
So it's 40 pounds of sap to 1 pound of the syrup?
That's the average. I think last year was like 43 gallon. They figured for the whole season, 43 gallon to make one.
That's really incredible. So now the process is you tap the trees with the buckets and you have between 500 and 700, let's say, a season.
Yeah.
You then put it into this...
We have gathering stations. And then from there it runs gravity to the sap house in our storage tanks. And then it keeps running gravity all the way down into to the evaporator.
So this is a lot of labor then for a small amount of maple syrup. Are you still liking the whole process of this?
Well, it's something we've been doing since 1958, so it's something that's, you know.
Are you still eating maple syrup?
Oh, yes. About every morning I'm a cooked cereal.
Really?
Yeah, oh, yes. That's.
So it's you, Raymond Muthig, and your wife, Dot Muthig, who run this farm and produce the syrup?
Yes. Well, we don't do much farming. I'm a retired iron worker from Newburgh. This is something that we've, done since 1958.
Well, thank you very much. I think, is Dot leading the tour? Is that what's going on out there?
No, I think Dennis.
Dennis. Well, thank you. I'd love to come back in here and poke around, but this is, it's amazing.
Let's take a walk up the road. No big rush. Everybody, kids, everyone, come on up. It's okay. You take your time. That's good. Any place right in here, folks, is fine. All right. I'm gonna give you a little bit of history. And again, keep looking around because every aspect of the sap bush is different. And it really tells a different story. Right now, we're in a section where these single bucket trees, all hard maple trees, they're all first time being tapped. They're approximately 50 years old, and they're ranging in diameter from 8 to 12 inches. There's always been a bit of controversy with the family on how big a tree for the first time. I'd rather wait till it's 12 inches wide. The old timer next door says, start them at 8, let's go, I'll be dead by then. So, but the theory is that you give the tree enough chance to get a maturity and to reach a competitive height with some of the more mature trees. But by that time, that tree is 100 years old, there won't be any place left for a bucket. So these first trees here, we'll take a look at some of them if you stay there, but all these first ones in this group are all very young, okay? So this is the first year that they've been tapped. And you'll notice that the hard maple has its traditional moss, but it has white lichen. And that was one of my first experiences of being able to identify a tree was a white lichen. And it only will grow on these hard maples. Now, Dad always said, well, you're supposed to look up at the top. If it's silver, it's soft maple. If it's red, it's hard maple. Well, I'd look up and I'd see the clouds going. I get so dizzy. I said, whatever. Just tell me what to do, But we have some soft maples in the background. And if you look through the woods, you'll see a brownish type bark, good trees with no buckets on. And the bark will be shaggy. And that's a soft maple. And actually, our hard maples are budded out red at the top right now. So they're really looking for a beautiful day like today. It's a bluebird day, both for fishermen and for the sap bush. We have no clouds. We got 100% sun. Right now, there's a little bit of a breeze blowing. And that brings the temperature down. It feels cold on your face. It's cold on the top of the trees. So it's not having a chance to interact with the chemistry. And what we want is about a 40, 45 degree day, even more, bluebird day. And let's just take 30 degrees at night, 28 point something. And it just slows everything down enough that when that sun comes up, that sap surges and runs up to those buds. So what we're doing is we're selecting an eastern exposure, a southern exposure, and a western exposure. A good run just starting. It's a late year, but it doesn't really matter. It could catch up. Mom and Dad could be working 16-hour days for the next week straight, and then it'll stop just like that. They could work 2 days a week for 3 weeks and come up with the same or less statistics. It's a variable that you have to be there to experience it. Hopefully there isn't a lot of cold and warm in between, because if you don't gather the sap every day, it will spoil or can freeze and expand. In the old time buckets were metal with seams. So if they could expand and break, that's a lot of expense to a farmer back then. We've upgraded to a plastic spile and a plastic bucket just to modernize and keep up with scientific and sanitized situations. Eliminated some of the old metals. Got really nice pure boiling pans, top of the line stainless steel. So even modern technology has trickled down to the simplest farmers to make things cleaner and more efficient. What I'd like to do is continue on down over to our gathering wagon, and I want you to notice how the slope of the bush, the sap bush, is all graded. We will go to individual areas and there'll be a dump stations. So we're gathering by buckets, going to individual dump stations, and it's flowing by pipeline to the next holding area. And there'll be stations all over, and we have approximately, I'm going to say 25 or plus acres of sap bush. And everything is pitched and running downhill toward the different storage tanks. So let's take a break, and we'll walk over, and everybody catch your breath, and we're going to do a little question and answer later on, too. So if you just want to hold on to them till the next section. So let's take a walk right on over the tractor path.
There's some in the bottom there.
I'm looking into the bucket now, and the sap is completely clear. It looks like water, and the buckets don't have much in there right now.
It needs to hold a bucket that could have 8, 10, 12, 15 pounds of liquid in it for up to 3 weeks or 4 weeks. So the person driving the spile in has got a lot of responsibility, and many times the first time around gathering, we'll take a small hammer and just give it one more little tap if we see it wet. But normally it's quite a good system. First person will go along and drill, the next one will come along and put a spile, next one's got the bucket, the next one's got a lid, and it just, the more hands the merrier, and we don't get paid a lot by the hour, but the profits are pretty sweet. So, but we do get to deer hunt here, and we farm and sell hay, and we've learned forest management and conservation practices and so many different things. It's something that you have to reflect upon.
Let's get out of the way so other people can see.
We began this tour in front of the sap house, and then we made our way up into the woods, and now we've circled around and we're passing the gathering cabin and heading back down to the sap house.
I'm Dennis Muthick. I'm the number one son.
How many are there?
There's two. I have a younger brother, Gary.
And what does the sap taste like as it's coming out of the tree?
It's very sweet water. Very sweet water. And different trees have different tastes, different formulas.
Thank you.
You know what? I'm never again going to complain about the price of maple syrup.
flat pans were in the early 1800s, and then they evolved from that into the evaporators in there. Every year it's something new.
Yeah, something new.
They're really looking for a beautiful day like today. It's a bluebird day.
Well, cool. Thank you again. Have a great day. Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you. Leaving the Muthig Maple Syrup Farm.
Barbara Sash, hi.
So, maple syrup, springtime. Are you from around here?
Yes.
We moved up here when I was 18 months old, so I'm a native.
I think that would qualify you as a local.
Local yokel. Yes, a local.
Do you know anybody that makes their own maple syrup that taps those trees?
Actually, I do. I know a gentleman that makes his own and taps trees.
Barbara, do you like maple syrup yourself?
I like anything sweet.
And I didn't even know, I'm not from New York State, I'm not from the Catskills, but I didn't realize that there is so much maple syrup that comes from New York State. Yes. Do you have any favorite trees? I find it amazing that that syrup comes from the sap of the maple trees, and they are so beautiful as well year-round.
All different kinds of trees, especially in the spring, when all the different spring blooming trees come with the spirea and magnolias. And all the beautiful trees that we have around here, it's really gorgeous, the lilacs.
We have pretty hard winters. It's been a hard winter here in the Catskills. Do you feel something different as spring is approaching here?
Energy. I feel a lot more energy, the sun. I love being outside in the spring. I'm an avid gardener. And just being outside and getting into the soil and the dirt and seeing things pop up, it's very wonderful for me.
Do you get your hands in the dirt and do you plant things?
Yes.
What? She's showing me her hands. I don't know if
feel
I believe
those
her. Okay.
Yes.
I believe her. So what do you plant?
You name it, I plant it. A lot of flower gardens, water gardens, perennials. I do some landscaping around for other people also.
Thank you, Barbara.
Hi, I'm Betty Cobiella. I come from Charlotte, North Carolina, and I'm here visiting the Catskills.
Well, welcome. You shared with me that you were given some maple syrup, some fresh maple syrup from a friend. So you're taking that back to the South with you?
Absolutely. It's driving home with me in a special package. My family is awaiting it. It's very special because it's made from a loving friend who made it by, you know, with his own little hands, from his own little trees.
When did you first find out about how maple syrup is made? Do you remember even when you first tasted maple syrup?
Nope, I don't remember first tasting it, but I do remember learning about how it was made, and that was not that long ago. It was as an adult living up here in Coshocton, New York. One spring, my husband went and bought the sprouts or spigots that come out of the tree, and we made our own maple syrup that year.
How did that go?
Delicious, wonderful. I didn't realize it was such a long, involved process and took a lot of work. We pretty much did it almost every year after that for a long time. And then we had children, and we would do it with the kids so that they would learn how it was made. And then we moved down south. I don't know if there are any maple syrup trees down there. So that's why the little container I'm taking home tomorrow is so very important, because it's homemade maple syrup.
How do you use the maple syrup?
We use it in lots of ways. Cooking, obviously, pancakes, oatmeal, sometimes chicken, you know, honey mustard or something, and we'll use maple syrup.
Well, thank you, Betty, for sharing your maple syrup stories with us.
Thank you very much. Have a good spring.
Why is spring, Betty? I just heard Betty say that spring was her favorite time of year. Why is spring your favorite time of year?
Because there is such a sense of rebirth and regrowth. It just comes screaming at you with the blooms, you know, daffodils and the blooms on the trees and the smell of the air. It really tells you it's here. The light of the day is longer. Just wonderful.
So what's spring like where you're living now, down south? We're in upstate New York in the Catskills speaking, but you live in the South. So what's the difference?
I live in Charlotte, North Carolina, and it arrives early. February 1st, my daffodils are blooming. So it comes about 6 weeks earlier down in the South. Tulips are already up, and the Japanese maples are blooming, and it's in full tilt right now down in Charlotte. But we have the dogwoods that you have here. The one thing that's missing in the South that we don't have, that you have here in the spring, are lilacs. They don't exist down there. The equivalent for lilacs down there would be crepe myrtle, which is a similar look, but not as fragrant, and don't happen till August.
Don't you be wasting all your money on syrup and honey, because I'm sweet enough. Don't you be using every minute on making a living, because we
your time on me. Don't you be out all night long, leaving me all alone, because I need your love. Don't you be spending every day working away, because I'm waiting for you.
So here's to the sweetness of the sugar maple tree and all of the mysteries that still remain about that sap. From the kitchen table, out on the road, I'm Sabrina Artel. New York is the second largest producer of maple syrup in the United States. Vermont is the first. For more information, please visit www.mapleweekend.com. Thanks for joining me for Sabrina Artel's Trailer Talk.
Donations to support Trailer Talk are always gratefully received. You can find a link to make your tax-deductible donation at trailertalk.net.
The music for the show, Patti Smith, People Have the Power, Ralph Stanley and the Clinch Mountain Boys, Maple on the Hill, Duffy, Syrup and Honey. Trailer Talk is produced by Sabrina Artel. For more information, please visit trailertalk.net. Thank you all who joined me in these conversations. I'm Sabrina Artel. Safe travels.
The 6th annual Upper Delaware Litter Sweep is underway, with land-based cleanups being organized throughout the bi-state river valley during April Earth Month. Volunteers who sign up with the Upper Delaware Council receive a free themed t-shirt and supplies to use in the field. Get involved in the litter sweep by visiting upperdelawarecouncil.org or calling 845-252-3022. Paid for by the Upper Delaware Council.
Next time on the Retro Cocktail Hour, there's music by the man who put the mad in Madison Avenue, plus the big band exotica sound of Les Baxter. I'm Daryl Brogdon. Hope you'll join us where the music is always shaken, not stirred. The Retro Cocktail Hour, Wednesday night at 7, here on Radio Catskill.
For hundreds of thousands of years, we've been fighting bacteria.
On the next Radiolab,
for most of that time, we have been losing.
Can we win the fight against antibiotic resistance?
We have huge brains. We have all these muscles. We have fancy degrees.
I had no idea that resistance had gotten this bad.
And on the other side, we have bacteria.
How in the hell are we losing?
That's on the next Radiolab, Wednesday afternoon at 2 on Radio Catskill.
WJFF Jeffersonville. From river to river, mountain to mountain, we are Radio Catskill.